Let's read together Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 35. Now, in the second half of Proverbs chapter 6, once again, we have warnings against the sexual sins of fornication and adultery. Let's begin by reading verses 20 through 26. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Let's begin our study of this portion of Proverbs chapter 6 with some background notes. We've already seen in the book of Proverbs sexual sin strongly warned against in chapter 2 and in chapter 5. Now here again in chapter 6, we have further warning about sexual sin, and we will hear more in chapter 7 and in chapter 9. Question: why is there such an emphasis on sexual sin and its consequences in the book of Proverbs? Answer: because sexual sin is a big problem area in life, and God does not want us to be ensnared by this costly sin. In verse 20, Solomon writes, "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother." As we mentioned before, Solomon had received teaching from his father David and his mother Bathsheba. I'm reading once again Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Now, what do you think David and Bathsheba taught Solomon about sexual sin? Certainly, from their own sad experience, they would have taught Solomon that there were serious consequences to sin in this area. And now Solomon is passing on this wise counsel to his own son. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point for this second half of Proverbs chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one: sexual sin is a foolish departure from the way of wisdom. Sexual sin is a foolish departure from the way of wisdom. Verses 21 through 24, once again, bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. What is Solomon exhorting his son to bind on his heart and tie around his neck in verse 21? In the context, it is Solomon's wise counsel. But this, of course, is the way of wisdom and the word of the Lord. The Jewish use of phylacteries, which are little leather boxes containing scripture that Orthodox Jews bind on their bodies, traces back to verse 21, as well as to Exodus chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, the Lord did not mean to literally bind scripture to your chest or neck, but to have it and to know it and live your life in the light of it. That's what we have here in verse 21. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. It wouldn't be wrong to literally do this, have a verse hanging around your neck, but the main point is to, you know, have it before you and live in the light of it. It will guide you and protect you. Verse 22. The scriptures which give us the way of wisdom will teach us and enlighten us. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And they will keep us from sexual sin, verse 24, if we follow the way of wisdom. If we don't follow the way of wisdom, we are fools. Sexual sin is a foolish departure from the way of wisdom. Doctrinal point number two, sexual sin is a deceptive departure from the way of wisdom. Sexual sin is a deceptive departure from the way of wisdom. Verses 24 through 26, once again, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. When you depart from the way of wisdom in the area of sexual sin, it's not like robbing a bank. A person who tries to rob a bank is not deceived. He knows what he is doing and knows the risks involved. But sexual sin is deceptive. How can it be so wrong if it looks so good and pleasant? That's the point. It's deceptive. Be warned about the smooth tongue and beautiful looks and flashing eyes and flickering eyelashes of the adulteress, verses 24 and 25. The possibility of deception is even greater when the unsuspecting victim is actually the prey of a planned trap of an adulteress. Verse 26, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. It isn't long before the foolish and unsuspecting man is reduced to nothing but a loaf of bread. Verse 26, sexual sin is a deceptive departure from the way of wisdom. And doctrinal point number three, sexual sin is a costly departure from the way of wisdom. Sexual sin is a costly departure from the way of wisdom. Verses 27 through 35. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning now with verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. It could not be said any plainer. Sexual sin is a costly departure from the way of wisdom. Did you ever try to hold fire on your lap or walk on the burning embers of a campfire in bare feet? You will get burned. There are no exceptions. And so too with sexual sin. If you're involved in sexual sin, you will not go unpunished. Verse 29. You will reap what you have sown either in this life or in eternity or both. Sexual sin is much more costly than many other sins. If a person robs money because he is hungry, for example, it is a sin to be sure. But the thief is not despised, verse 30. And the debt can be paid back, even with sevenfold restitution, verse 31. But sexual sin is worse. You destroy yourself in the process, verse 32. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, we read, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Furthermore, with sexual sin, there is scandal and disgrace and dishonor that can never be regained. Verse 33. Think of the recent examples in the lives of some of our government officials, for example. And you can't buy off a jealous and offended and enraged husband. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. Verses 34 and 35. Sexual sin is a costly departure from the way of wisdom. And now what about practical application from the second half of Proverbs chapter 6? Don't become desensitized to sin by the media. Don't become desensitized to sin by the media. Now, we've talked about this before, but it does not hurt to emphasize this reality. Our society's moral standards are lower than the moral standards of God as given in the Bible. That's for sure. Therefore, as we watch movies or TV or even read the newspaper, which all reflect our culture's moral standards, we become desensitized to God's moral standards. A Christian can become so desensitized by the media that sexual sin is not sin as long as it's a so-called true love relationship. Or even worse, the idea that just as the body has a need for food, it also has a need for sex, and thus it is not sinful to satisfy either hunger. That's where our culture is. Nothing could be further from the truth. But the media propagates these lies as part of our culture, and even believers can become desensitized. And another big lie by the media in the area of sex is the lie that as long as no one gets hurt, it's okay. After all, what people don't know won't hurt them. Again, even some Christians have been desensitized in this area by the media. Well, the truth is, people do get hurt, and secret affairs don't remain secret. But more than that, it is sin. The Bible doesn't say that fornication and adultery is less sinful if it's secret and people don't get hurt. 1 Corinthians 6:18 indicates that immorality involves sin against your own body. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. From 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Listen, if ever the Bible wanted to teach that sexual sin was not sin as long as no one got hurt, it would be in the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. After all, who would know? Potiphar was too preoccupied to know or care. And Joseph was far away from home and family. Why not? How could it be sinful when no one would know and no one would get hurt? I'm reading from Genesis chapter 39, beginning with verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" From Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 9. Now the media would take this story and twist it around to the point where you're so desensitized that you're made to think that by his making love with Potiphar's wife, Joseph could have kept a lot of people, including himself, from being hurt. What a lie. Don't become desensitized to sin by the media.